Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Everything you remember must mean something. So what does that thought mean?
Adrift with Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm pretty chill, pretty relaxed.
Okay, good.
I think maybe I am quite a chill, relaxed person.
Okay.
You don't think that?
I'm embarrassed you're using the words chill and relax a little bit, yeah.
Well, I think I'm compared to a man who was behind me coming out of the London Underground station yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
So I've taken to, instead of carrying a physical ticket, you can use your bank card on the London Underground. You just put it on the reader and it lets you through.
Yeah.
So the next step in the evolution of that is you can use your mobile phone.
Yes.
Have you seen this?
Yeah, I've seen people do it.
So you have your card details stored in your mobile phone, you click a couple of buttons, you put it on the reader and the gate's open. Brilliant, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I've started doing that. So I'm coming up out of the London Underground yesterday and I suppose I slow my walking. I don't ever stop, but I slow my walking pace to buy me some time to get my phone out of the pocket and make that double click.
Yeah.
As I'm doing that, the man behind me is so annoyed by the delay, which, just to stress, is definitely less than 3 seconds.
Okay.
He makes this noise.
You are kidding.
No.
That's so annoyed. That's like massively annoyed noise.
Like, what state are you walking around in? So I know in cities we're all living on top of each other and it can be other human beings can be frustrating. I've said before that sometimes other human beings in the city can feel like a loose coalition of idiots hell-bent on thwarting me.
Yeah.
But to be walking around at that level of stress, that you're delayed by a few seconds and you
so this is just for a tube station where the tubes go between every 1 and 2 minutes.
Exactly. And I genuinely think that if I had had to stop to fish around in my pocket, I mean, I think he would have it would have resorted to violence.
He'd have strangled you.
He's operating at that level of stress.
Wow.
I was in the supermarket a couple of days ago. I want to know what you think about this.
Okay.
I was in the supermarket and there was somebody ahead of me in the queue to go to the cashier.
Mm.
That person then, I see them sort of look around, look at the basket, look around, do the whole pantomime of, oh, I've forgotten something.
Okay.
And off he goes to get something.
Okay.
So that while he's gone, the cashier comes free.
Yeah, yeah.
So I move forward my basket.
Yeah.
And then he dashes back. Oh, excuse me. Sorry. Sorry. I hope you don't mind. I was first in the queue. I said, no, he's fine. So then he goes to the front of the queue.
Yeah.
And he goes off again.
No, he doesn't.
Yes.
He doesn't.
Yes.
No.
So that's bad etiquette, right?
Hugely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to sacrifice your position in the queue if you can't be back in time. So he was almost treating it like his basket of shopping was a towel on a sun lounger.
Yeah.
And as long as it was there with the cashier.
I'm going to start taking an empty basket and just like going backwards and forwards.
Yeah,
I know. Like, no, it's my place.
Because I get very, like nothing stresses me more than if I'm shopping with my wife and then it turns out she needs to go back to the aisles to get something.
Oh.
Like the pressure, the worry that the cashier is going to finish ringing all the things off before she gets back. I mean, I get terrible anxiety in that situation.
Oh, I totally agree. I've had that before. It's very stressful.
Yeah. Listen to this, though.
Go on.
So the guy as well, so just outside the supermarket is a bus stop.
Yeah.
And it was like the situation, actually, we were talking about in last week's podcast, that the weather was quite bad.
Okay.
So I was like huddling under the bus shelter, but then I see the bus coming in the distance.
Yeah.
So I get into the queue and the guy is in the queue.
Right.
Does the same thing again.
He doesn't.
No, he doesn't, but I was ready to get into it with him if he had.
Oh. Yeah.
Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port in a show called Adrift.
Please share your stories of failed human interaction. You can email us hello@adriftpodcast.com.
This is from Paul Newbegin. So, picture the scene. I'm sat on a busy-ish commuter train from London Euston to Leighton Buzzard. It's relatively late in the day, and all on board are silently nosing through papers and generally not talking to or making eye contact with each other. I have a window seat and have my head rested up, earphones in, and I'm generally dozing in and out of life. Cut to a dramatic commotion, loads of noise and laughter and general non-southernness. I look up. A party of people is coming down the train making this noise. Drunks? At this hour? No, wait. It's that Pudsey. Not the dancing dog, but Pudsey the bear. And he has children in need do-gooders with charity buckets coming down and they are causing quite the fuss. Pudsey bursts into the carriage. Hello, everyone. It's children in need soon. Make sure you give generously. Next stop, Burke Hampstead. I snigger. Good train gag, Pudsey. And Burke Hampstead is genuinely the next stop. Give before you get to Aylesbury. Too far, Pudsey. We weren't even going there. Anyway, Pudsey leaves. And immediately the atmosphere is just odd. People don't quite know what to do. An awkward tension has arisen now. Someone needs to do something to diffuse this. Up step Paul, trumpets, hero, etc. What this someone, now nominated me, needs to do is to make a witty, cutting and clever remark to counteract the bad punning Pudsey. Yeah, that'll sort it. Why not say something like, train conductors, eh? Ha 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 ha, lols. Immediately awkward is dead. I open my mouth and gesture with a sarcastic shrug when immediately I hear, didn't even have a chance to show him my ticket, bloody conductor. What? Someone has beaten me. But my mind thinks people are seeing that you clearly were going to say something. So say something, anything. What comes out of my mouth still upsets me today. It wasn't clever. It wasn't funny. And it resulted in a more awkward atmosphere than ever before. In a voice, as though I'd only just learned to talk, loudly, slowly and deliberately, my brain said aloud, he was a bear. Cheers, Paul. Great remark.
Oh,
God, he was a bear.
Oh, that's so great.
Oh, we might have to add that to unlucky. Unlucky and he was a bear.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Okay, this is from Chris. He says, I've been in a job interview which had gone really well. The company seemed exciting and vibrant. The two interviewers seemed really nice, including Pete, who, if I had impressed him, would be my next boss. Everything had gone well. I'd answered all their questions thoroughly, even the horrible where do you see yourself in 5 years type questions. I had a really good feeling about the whole thing. I wouldn't be surprised if in the next few days I got a call to say the job was mine. I was shown out to reception, and after my interviewers had left, I asked if I could use their toilets before I left the building. The receptionist pointed the way. As I entered the downstairs toilet, all was quiet. I looked at both cubicle doors. Both were showing the green flash on the lock, meaning vacant. I opened the door on toilet one and was greeted with an awful sight. Someone had pooed on the seat, not just a little bit, but a large smear all along one side of the seat. How is that even possible? How would you smear such a smear? It looked improbable, but there it was, staring at me. Would someone have gone in and thought, I'm feeling artistic today. Now, what can I do with the materials to hand? I quickly closed the door and edged towards the other toilet, cubicle number two, hoping that it would be far more welcoming. I pushed the door open and looked inside cautiously. All was good. The area was clean. I closed the door behind me and let nature take its course. I stepped out and washed my hands and wondered what it would be like to work for this company. My thoughts were punctured by the toilet door swinging open and in walked my prospective boss, Pete. He nodded at me and I nodded back, but inside I was thinking, well, say something, make a quick comment so you don't look rude or dismissive. My brain drew a blank. He pushed open the door to cubicle number one, as I had, and was greeted by the same unwelcome sight I had just encountered. Ugh! It was a noise of half disgust and half shock. I just did that, I said, nodding in compliance. Anyway, it was nice to meet you. I left the toilet. I was halfway back to the tube station when it dawned on me what he must have thought I meant. The shame, the shame. He must have gone back to his office and said to someone, I can't believe what that last candidate was just bragging about downstairs. I never heard back from them about the job.
We would love to hear from you, please, if you have quips gone awry. I think that is fertile ground.
Absolutely, yeah.
We would also like your shyness's nice stories, pretending to know what you're doing, blurting stuff out, just any sort of failed attempts at human interaction, things which still make you cringe many years later. You can email us hello@adriftpodcast.com.
Please join me in this bubble that has been forever locked in the glass by the blower. It's their breath. It's horrible.
Adrift. Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port.
So, Hamble.
Yes.
You have prepared a story.
Yes, I'm going to tell you about jobs. Now, I've had lots of jobs, which might be surprising to some people, seeing as I had my last job for 16 years. So I was either very happy there or had high levels of apathy and low levels of ambition. You decide. Before that, so up to the age of about 25, 26, I didn't count them, but I'm guessing around 28 jobs. I mean, it's that many. Most when I was a teenager, when I had this incredible work ethic that has long since left me.
Alongside your paper round?
Well, yes. So it started with my paper round, which I did from the illegal age of 12 to the weirdly old age of 18. But I had other jobs on the side. I didn't just do that. For a few years, I also worked in the same news agents where I did my paper round all day Saturday and Sunday morning. And in retrospect, it's possible that outside of sort, I've been kept there as a slave. I also stacked shelves early evening weekdays in a local supermarket until I lost that job because I found out I'd lied about my age. I worked on the till on Saturdays at another supermarket about a 20-minute bus ride away. My most memorable moment there, this is back in the day before barcode readers. Mm. You're manually putting the price into the till. Mm. And a lady had bought about 12 things, just really basic groceries. And I rang up the total and it came to £276.84. And I knew it couldn't be right. Like, it wasn't like she was buying that Japanese beef and caviar and a kilo of saffron. It's just things like eggs and milk and bread. But I didn't know what to do. And bear in mind, I was 14. So I just went, yes, that's £276.84, please. She looked at me, like, completely incredulous. She said, no, that's not right. But I couldn't think what to do. So I said, but that's what it says here, looking towards the till. So she says, I'm not giving you that money, and suggests I ring it up again. So I have to get the manager over to void it all and start again. I did keep that job, though, even though it could have been like I was that character in Superman 3 where they take a cent off everyone's paycheck and they become very rich.
Oh, yeah,
I could have been like a very overly ambitious of that person. I wasn't. Anyway, I didn't get sacked from that, but I did get sacked from my job as a cleaner in an old people's home. I got sacked after 1 week. But in my defence, it is hard to clean when you try not to breathe through your nose or mouth. As my granny would say every time I saw her, getting old is the pits. A lot of truth in that. I got fired from a secretarial job as I'd lied about being able to type and do 70 words a minute, which became immediately apparent. And there was a moment of, you can't type, can you? And me having to go, no.
Did you just pluck the figure of 70 words out of thin air?
That sounded like a good one. Actually, I know where I got it from, because I knew my mum could do 70 words a minute. Yeah. Well, I got fired from being a general dog's body at the record and video exchange in Notting Hill. I'm not even really sure why, but there was a complaint about the haphazard way that I'd stapled some papers together. To get that job, I had to do a popular culture written exam.
Really?
Yeah, and have an interview with three people. Very strange.
That is strange.
Yeah.
To work in a record shop, all you need is an air of superiority. Yeah, exactly.
I did a data input job in a bank for 6 months, and I made such an impression on my colleagues that when I left, they gave me a leaving card, and nowhere on it was my name. The envelope was blank and there was no Dear Annabelle inside. So they clearly didn't know my name and also couldn't be bothered to find out. I'd made such an impression on them. I also got a job when I was a teenager after I answered an ad about doing some local deliveries, because the paper round in the morning clearly wasn't enough for me. I needed more letterboxes. I needed more doors. And the item to be delivered turned out to be samples of a new product, which was Dove Foaming Face Wash. So I went round to a lady's house. She lived really near me. And she gave me a map of roads I had to deliver to in my area, South Bentfleet, and three huge bags of the samples. And to my credit, I did deliver a few of them. And then didn't have to buy face wash for the next 3 years. But it wasn't like the paper round, because it was more kind of endless. It just sort of went on and on and on. And I remember being in a cul-de-sac while an Alsatian that had escaped circled me for around half an hour before it got bored. So I really hated it. And I didn't want to do it anymore. But instead of just telling the Dove woman this when I was due to go round to pick up more free samples. I went round and said that I couldn't do the next batch as I was going on a French exchange trip. And then I lived in fear that I'd bump into her and she'd test me on my French. And I was always kind of like practicing phrases I could like throw back at her in case she saw through it and knew. And like I'd actually be able to go on a French exchange trip. I had a paper round to do. Anyway, I'd like to apologise to Dove if there was ever a noticeable and puzzling dearth of sales of foaming face wash in the South Benfleet area in the late 80s.
Soon, people will know that we don't know what we're doing.
Adrift.
If you enjoy the podcast, please support us on Patreon. Just a little bit of money every month really helps us out. Patreon.com/adrift. And if you hear desperation in my voice as I ask you for this on this episode, it's because I've got the plumber around this morning and I dread to think what the bill's going to be like.
Oh.
Got a leak.
Yes.
Yeah, boiler's dripping. So an awful thing happened just before you got here, actually.
Yeah.
So his plumber has been around a few times, Andy, so I know him a bit. And he's like, Jeff, can you do us a favour? I said, yeah. He says, you know how to bleed a radiator, don't you?
Oh.
So I just go, oh, yeah, of course I do.
You don't, do you?
No, of course I don't.
No, I didn't think you would. No offence. No offence.
But I didn't want to, I wanted to impress. I didn't want Andy, the plumber, to think, oh, this guy is barely a grown-up. He doesn't know how to bleed a radiator.
Did WikiHow come out?
Well, so he goes, can you just go around the house bleeding the radiator as well? I'll watch the pressure gauge and do whatever he's doing on the... So I say, sure. So he gives me this little key. And then I come up here where we're sitting now into the loft and I've got this key and I've got no idea what to do. I'm on my hands and knees looking at the radiator. I can't see where this thing fits in. I'm pulling knobs off the end. I can't see anything that looks like this key would fit in it. So I end up having to sit up here and watch a YouTube video.
Because you can't go back down and say, sorry, Andy, I lied. I don't know how to bleed the radiator. Because not only do you know how to do it, but you lied about doing it, even worse. Yeah.
So I now know how to bleed a radiator. I'm not sure that information will stay in my head very long, and I'm not even sure I did it correctly. But anyway, the point being, I've got a plumber around, and it could break me. It could send me into bankruptcy. Who knows? So if you support us on Patreon, that could come in extremely handy. And if we got an excess of money, maybe I could go on a course.
Yes. A plumbing course.
He was telling me about a plumber. It wasn't him, admittedly, but he'd read about a plumber earning 250 grand a year.
Is that all? 3 million? Come on.
So if you would be kind enough to support us on Patreon in return for your enjoyment of this podcast, then go to patreon.com/adrift.
Time for Adrift with Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port. In whichever order that makes sense to you, you are the one perceiving it in the computer simulation.
Hi.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why.
Yeah?
My mother-in-law is coming to town.
Oh, when's she coming?
In a couple of days' time.
Amazing.
So Lynn Barron will be in the area. And when I say in the area, I do mean that rather than in the house.
She's not staying here.
My wife has forbidden her from staying under our roof.
Even though you've got a spare room.
I mean, we're sitting in the spare room at the moment, which is where we record the podcast. We're looking at the spare bed where my wife often comes and sleeps because of my snoring. But I think somewhat wisely, they have decided amongst themselves that, by which I think Sarah's decided and Lynn has accepted.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, that's a miracle in itself.
Okay.
That's a woman who knows her own mind and gets her own way.
Right.
But they've decided that she should stay in an Airbnb round the corner.
Does that mean you didn't get a rider this time? A list of things?
Oh, no, we still got an extensive list of things that need to be in place for her arrival.
Good.
So basically she's staying in an Airbnb around the corner.
Wow.
Now, have you ever stayed in one of these?
I have, yes.
You talk me through the booking process.
You just go online. It's easy. You put in your dates, you pay your money, the end. Yeah.
So do you think it's normal or abnormal that having found somewhere, you would then send the people you're visiting out on a recce to look at places, like every process of the decision making, every stage of the decision making process, you're involving them in, asking lots of questions, saying, can you just go and walk past this? I mean, would you go around and talk to it? Do you think that that is normal or abnormal?
Would it have been easier if you just stayed here? Oh, God. I say it's abnormal. Sorry. Yeah.
And I have told some people that my wife is making my mother-in-law and father-in-law stay in an Airbnb, and some people are horrified.
Well,
you know,
I think knowing their relationship, I think it's a good idea.
Well, is it? And is this a bizarre way to behave, both in hosting somebody and in the level of involvement that the hosts are expected to make? I'll find out in this week's The Incident. Anna Hart is one of my favourite travel writers. She's got a new book out called Departures, A Guide to Letting Go One Adventure at a Time. I asked her about the etiquette of Airbnb.
I really think this is where Airbnb really comes into its own, when you have people who you love dearly, but you do want to keep at arm's reach.
Do you think there's any awkwardness in asking friends, family? They know you have a spare room. Do you think there's an awkwardness in saying, how's about you find an Airbnb nearby?
I don't think there is, because I think there's nothing more awkward than actually shouting at somebody when they're on your sofa.
So have you ever done that kind of Airbnb where you stay with people as opposed to just sort of renting their whole house?
I have. I've done it both ways. And I do believe if you're lucky, it can be pretty wonderful. Obviously, the risks are you spend the entire time feeling like a kind of awkward house guest.
Has that ever happened to you?
Yes, I've certainly. I mean, the awkwardness is strong in me. I can make any situation awkward. And I really, I don't feel particularly comfortable kind of popping around somebody's kitchen when I don't know them. And I feel like every moving the mug, I've made a terrible noise or a terrible mess, and I feel like I have to apologize for everything.
And how are your reviews on Airbnb?
Personally, I just can't handle the awkwardness of that, so I don't bother leaving a review at all.
Oh, so you don't do it at all? Because there's kind of a poker element to it, where you're supposed to review them and they're supposed to review you, and you can't see, is it right, you can't see each other's reviews until you do that. So I would feel like awful having like some kind of unrequited Airbnb love where I gave unreserved praise and then it turned out they thought it was an awful person who stunk the house out.
Oh, Jeff, you're such a generous lover. I'm not selfish. I don't care. As long as they review me positively, I'm off. Something I always do enjoy though are slightly deciphering negative reviews. So sometimes people are a bit too shy, like me, to leave outwardly negative reviews, really explicitly negative reviews, but they'll kind of use code words like cozy when they mean tiny,
right?
Or very friendly, or when they mean overbearing and a bit mental.
Right. While I've got you on, can I very quickly get you to tell us about the book, Departures?
I would love to, yes. So I've written, Departures is a travel memoir. It's essentially 13 trips that I've been on that have changed my life, from like drunken student trips, you know, to the post-heartbreak trip where I went to Amsterdam with my ex-boyfriend's friends to try and get over him, which is obviously not a tried and tested route to to emotional healing. And so it's a very, very honest account of how travel has changed my life. And it's been a real joy to write. It's been really fun to be. I think a lot of travel writing can be quite polished and airbrushed and a little bit overly aspirational. And this is a much more raw account of how I got travel wrong for many, many years until finally I started to get it right.
When is it acceptable to put your seat back on an aeroplane?
Again, it depends. If you've made eye contact with them, then I think you have to wait until after the meal.
Yeah.
However, if you're really slick and don't look back, I think you can just launch it back right away. It also slightly depends on whether it's a night flight and you do want to sleep. I think in that case, you can pretty much go for your life. You know, you call your own bedtime.
But what's the what about an early morning flight? If you're on a 6 a.m. flight, you've been up since 3:30. Surely that's going to count for something, Anna.
Oh, you see, now this is difficult.
We need rules. We need rules.
we do need rules. Again, I think it really depends on whether they look like a nice person or not. So spin around, judge them. Just make an immediate judgment. Decide if they are worthy of your consideration.
And if somebody does it to you too early, is it acceptable to just, like, you know, quite surreptitiously kick the back of their seat?
Absolutely. Passive aggression, you know, all is fair on an EasyJet flight.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you stop thinking, your mind begins to start loving. Adrift with Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port. Oh, touch it.
Oh, I've got to go for a blood test after we finish doing this.
Oh, yes, I know, yeah.
So the other night, Sarah was brushing her teeth, and because we're this type of married couple, I was urinating in the bathroom while she was brushing her teeth over at the sink. And it's a bit stingy. So I'm weeing. I'm going, ow. She's like, oh, God, what's up now? Because every day there's something up with me.
Right.
I say, can men get cystitis? And she's like, well, if they can, I'm sure you've got it.
Right, yeah.
So I finish weeing and I'm still a bit stingy. And then I'm looking down at my, do you say my junk? Is that what they say these days?
Oh, I've never heard that.
Okay, maybe it's not the right expression. Yeah.
Maybe anyway, it is. Doesn't mean anything if I haven't heard it.
I'm looking at what may or may not be called my junk.
Right.
And it looks normal, but I'm not sure. So, again, with this type of marriage, I say, Sarah, will you just have a look at this? You just have a look.
Right.
And she says, oh, does it maybe look a little bit red? So we're both staring at my penis.
Right.
And then blood starts dripping out of the end of it.
We all know that's not good.
So this is about midnight, and straight away I go into a tailspin. Like, I mean, at this point, it's just which cancer is it and how long have I got to live? These are the big questions. Yeah. So I ring NHS 111. Sarah's doing some extensive Googling and getting into a blind panic. She's thinking, well, this is it. This is the day our life changes. Everything before this point is bliss before my husband got ill and got terminally ill. So I then talk to NHS 111 and they asked me a bunch of questions and they say, have you bled more than a mug's worth?
Wow.
And actually I've probably not, you know, bled more than certainly less than the amount of vinegar that I would put on my chips.
Right. And how big's the mug anyway? And I've got some really big ones in my house. I'm not showing off, but yeah.
So they say you probably just need to go to the doctor tomorrow, get it checked out. So I go to the doctor. And it she thinks the most likely thing is a urinary tract infection.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Now, Sarah has narrowed it down to three different cancers, one of which is penile.
Oh.
So I say, you don't think penile cancer, you don't think that's a contender? She says, well, I'll take a look just to be on the safe side. But that cancer is almost non-existent these days. And if you were to get it, you'd be in your 70s or 80s. But I'll take a look. So she gets me to lie down. Take my pants down, and she has a look, and she goes, no, that is a fantastically healthy looking penis. I say, thank you. And I'm thinking, this is some good bedside manner. She knows that people are uncomfortable about getting the genitalia out. So that's just something she's saying to make me feel better about myself. I pull my pants back up. We go over to her computer. She starts typing in like a prescription for a particular cream, arranging these blood tests and so on. And she says, blah, 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 blah. And of course, I mean, your penis looks fantastically healthy. So ... And now she's used that phrase twice now. the exact same phrase, but in two different parts of the conversation.
Okay.
So I now think that maybe I do have a fantastically healthy looking penis. I now think she wasn't just being nice. I think maybe it's special in some way.
Hi, I'm Jeff. I've got a fantastically healthy looking penis. Is that how you're identifying now?
Yeah, yeah.
That's how you see yourself now. It's just that's all you are, fantastically healthy.
Yeah. I mean, no. I just want to be very clear here. It's it's unremarkable in every way.
Right.
But other than it's
the health.
It's health.
It's health.
But that's something, right? It's in rude health.
It's in rude health, yeah.
So anyway, I've got to go for a blood test after we finish recording the podcast, and I'm dreading it because I'm so phobic of needles.
Yeah.
Do you think they would let me just drip some blood out of my penis into a bottle?
No.
There are some things that move down the stream. Some of them are called Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port. It's coming past you, and on the sail is written GLAP, which stands for GLAP.
Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port.
The organization.
Adrift.
All right, on to this newish section of the podcast where you tell us about a social dilemma you're having and we will tell you what the rule is, how to behave. We've been asking for names for this section. How's that been going?
Yeah, we've got a few. Lee in Portsmouth says, how about Quandary Corner?
Quandary Corner. Oh, it's like a corner.
Yeah, so do I. Yeah. So
when I used to do Radio Manchester, when faxes were things, I used to do Fax Corner.
Okay, Facts Corner. That's not dated, no. Den of Skulls on Twitter says, life is an alien concept.
Not bad at all. Life isn't, yeah.
And Jonathan says, what about agony angst?
Agony angst. I think all these are good.
But you're not happy. Nothing's timing yet.
So I really, really, life is an alien concept. I like all of them. What it isn't, none of them are love at first sight.
Let's keep going.
Okay.
Let's keep going.
Okay.
Okay, do you want the first dilemma then?
Yes, please.
Okay, so this is from Anne. She says, like your fine selves, I'm a socially awkward 40-something introvert vegetarian. I am the kind of person who will still claim the food was lovely when asked at a restaurant, even if it was inedible. I recently went to an Indian buffet celebration with eight other people from where I work. It was all being paid for by my director, and so we each only had to contribute towards the waiter's tip. Because it was an Indian buffet, the waiter only had to show us to our table and serve drinks. So my first question is, how much would you personally tip the waiter?
Here's the thing. I don't think you can ever tip less than 10% of the overall bill.
Okay.
Now, this might change depending on how much the plumber charges me. But I tend to tip somewhere between 15 and 20. But I think your base is 10%. Whatever it is.
Even though they're not bringing you your food. I mean, they're taking your plates away, aren't they? They're serving you drinks.
The exception to this is if you're paying for something at the counter and there's a rounding up component, or if you're in a taxi and there's a rounding up component.
Okay.
You know, then you have to do it very much on a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
You think, oh God, if I rounded up, that'd only give them 20p, that's not enough, and so on.
But
by and large, rule of thumb, 10% is your baseline.
And I think in this situation, I think 10% would be perfectly fine.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think 10% is usually fine. It just depends on how needy you are to be lying.
Okay, so she goes on now to explain what happened. You might want to get a pen and paper and possibly a calculator. Okay. Or if you've got a very clear visual mind, that will be enough.
I'm going to open a draft of my email.
Okay. So she says, for our group of the nine at the table, five people left no money at all towards a tip. Apologies if this is long-winded, but this is how the money worked. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
The person to my right gave £4. I leant forward, took one of the £2 coins of his money and replaced it with a £5 note.
So he put four, you put three.
Okay. Yep. The person to my left did exactly the same. So at this point, there was two £5 notes in the tip kitty.
Okay.
So there we are now. Okay.
So two people... So
there are two £5 notes in the kitty.
So there's £10 in there.
Yeah.
One person's put £4 in, two people have put £3 in.
The next person leant forward and took a £5 note and replaced it with a 10. So there was now 15.
Okay, so that person's put a fiver in.
Yeah. The next person then leant forward and took the £10 note and replaced it with a £5, taking the tip down from a healthy £15... to £10. She pocketed the £10 she took. I mean, that's outrageous and audacious.
Yeah.
No one else at the table left a penny. Who's worse? I don't know. I was totally gobsmacked, Anne says, when I saw the theft of the money, but only the waiter and I noticed, and I guessed he couldn't say anything. So I didn't know what to do, apart from a sheepish look in the direction of the waiter. But to my shame, I said nothing. Isn't saying nothing the thin edge of the wedge that will eventually lead to the downfall of civilization, though? But what should I have done? Yours in perplexed angst.
So I think the waiter clocked it, and also he clocked that you were a good person and you were horrified by it.
Yeah.
So that, as far as that part of the dynamic goes, you're in the clear.
Yeah.
You know, there is this acknowledgement between you and the waiter. What you need now do is quietly make sure that everybody who was in that group knows what happens.
How?
You know, just
whisper it.
Yeah.
Start
a whispering campaign. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. So
yeah.
My advice would be don't ever risk any kind of row with not only just a work colleague, but anybody. So just be quiet and seethe for weeks,
God, don't confront them.
No.
But, you know, next time you're in the coffee room with one of the other people who were there, say, here's a funny thing.
Oh, don't say anything, but.
Yeah, don't say, yeah, exactly
okay.
that. Yeah,
all
yeah.
right then. Okay, yeah. We got that sorted.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got another one, and this is from Jonathan, mm-hmm. Jonathan Lazinski. He says, open plan offices have always been something I struggle with. When you need to ask someone a question, but there's no door to knock and they're in a conversation with someone else, how do you interrupt? I end up loitering and feel like I'm eavesdropping. I totally relate to this. I worked in an open plan office for years, and you want to go and say something to someone. You end up just sort of standing by their shoulder and feeling like an idiot. And their conversation might go on for hours. And then eventually you might just loiter off and feel like, well, that's a bit creepy. I just went and stood by their shoulder for 10 minutes.
See, this is part of the reason that I stopped going in the office, because all these kinds of things were too awful.
I feel it's up to the person who's having the conversation, sitting down, to notice you there.
Yes.
I think it's on them. And I think it's quite rude if they don't acknowledge you and go, oh, did you want to speak to me? Sorry. Oh, shall I come over to you in a sec? Or something like that.
Won't be second.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But I feel like it never happened. I would always just stand there for what felt like hours.
So given that people don't behave like that of their own accord, what do you do? Put signs up?
You should put a sign up when you're there.
No, I mean that there should be signs up in the office saying because behaviour needs changing. Sometimes you'll go to into a workplace, and then the toilet, there's a sign saying, please leave this toilet in the condition you found it.
Right.
And you know that's because it's gotten to such a bad state that people need to just start again with the basics of going to the toilet. You know, is there a thing whereby maybe introduce a code and have it laminated?
Well, there's the answer.
Yeah.
Every office in the land. There's your answer. Get the laminator out.
You know, like the old public service information adverts.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, those things were introduced as the public didn't know how to behave around certain things. Like, so, you know, we've had kites going back years and years and years, but we haven't had pylons going back hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden people were electrocuting themselves by flying kites to close to overhead power cables, so they had to put TV adverts explaining how to do it. Similarly, chip pan fires. People didn't have chip pans, and then they did. And so I think maybe open plan offices, it's time that a code of conduct. I really think this should be coming from the government, not from individuals.
Write them a letter.
Yeah, nanny state is what we need here.
Yeah.
If you have a dilemma of this ilk, if life is an alien concept to you, if you want us to be your agony angst, what was the other one?
Quandary Corner.
If you have a question you would like answering in Quandary Corner. See, none of these quite the thing.
All good, but nothing quite right. Yeah.
Or if you have a suggestion as to what we should call this slot, tell us about your situation and we will tell you very directly, as I believe we just did then, what the rules are. Email us hello@adriftpodcast.com. And that was our podcast. Annabelle, you're still here on the outro.
I am. I hung around.
Yeah, enjoying it. You get to enjoy the Man and the Echo music playing.
I love it.
Do you want to do any bits? Do you want to ask people to send us a story?
Send us a story.
Yeah. If you have your own story of human ineptitude, or if you have a social dilemma that you would like us to give you the rules of behaviour for, then you can email us hello@adriftpodcast.com. Thanks to Man and the Echo for the backing music. They did a big gig in Warrington the other night. I believe it went very well. Let's hear some new stuff from them soon. But if you haven't heard their album, Man and the Echo, treat yourself. They're great, aren't they?
Very, very good.
Thanks to Emily Harrison for the backing music during the incident. And advice this week came from travel writer Anna Hart, who has a new book. It's called Departures, A Guide to Letting Go One Adventure at a Time. Vince Lynch and Simon Wilcox are our announcers and made our idents. Iwana Babu and Patrick Gunning provided technical support. Kim Rainey made our artwork and Carla Gowlett did the photos. Don't forget to rate and review us if you're an iTunes user. Always helps.
Yes, please.
Tell you what always helps as well, finding somebody else who will listen to the podcast.
Yes, try and recruit.
We do need some new listeners.
I think we do, don't we?
Yeah. We'll try and figure out some kind of recruitment bonus.
Yeah, okay.
Don't know what that would be, but we'll try and figure it out. And finally, thanks to Dove Foaming Face Wash for keeping Annabelle looking so young and fresh despite her advancing years.
Adrift.
Adrift.
All right, this comes from Dawn, who says, hola, Jeff and Annabelle.
Hola. Hola.
She actually says Annabelle and Jeff. It was very egotistical of me to put my name in first. This is my first ever podication, and I'm hoping you'll read this out before the 28th of January.
Ah, yes. Now, I would like to say here that I've already emailed Dawn and apologised. It's because I started a new system and it got caught in the gaps between the old system and the new system. It kind of fell between the gaps.
Right, okay.
But the new system is incredible. It is. It's incredible. And it's never going to fail.
Has Dawn accepted your apology, Jeanette?
Yes, she accepted it incredibly gracefully. Yeah.
So I can listen to the podcast on my 50th birthday, which will be on Sunday, the 28th of January. I also hope that by that time to know what my glorified title is, as bestowed upon me by Annabelle since subscribing to Patreon.
Oh, we can do it now. Do you want to pick one? You haven't done one yet.
No, but it's your job.
Oh, it's my job. It's your job. You do it.
No, what I actually mean by that is, oh God, you've been thinking of titles. You've got them in your mind. I can't just pluck something out of thin air.
Okay. Well, why don't we go for something glamorous?
Dowager.
That's a great one. No, we haven't got a dowager yet.
Okay.
There we go. Dowager Dawn.
Dowager Dawn.
Let me make a note of this.
Okay.
Okay.
I did only subscribe on Christmas Day and fully appreciate that I'll be in the Rudy-induced backlog. How is Rudy Roo?
Very whingy. We Googled the other night out of desperation, why does my baby whinge so much? And there was around 4 million search results saying, why does my baby whinge so much? So I figure it's normal.
Reflux.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, that's just the answer to everything, yeah. Whether that's small.
And if it's not sick, it's silent reflux. Yeah.
We were FaceTiming the other day and he is so cute.
Just keep being fat.
No, he's like a little cabbage patch doll.
He's really fat.
He's really lovely.
Every time someone sees him, they go, oh, wow, he's so fat. If it was like an adult, that'd be so offensive, wouldn't it?
He could be a sumo wrestler when he grows up.
Yeah, I'm hoping he might thin out a bit. Oh, God.
I also hope, we've done that bit. I did miss listening to you both more frequently. And since you reduced your output to only 1 hour a week, I've spread my wings and also listened to other podcasts, most of which you've suggested or have been Adrift guests and co-presenters in Annabelle's absence. Tell you what's a great podcast. Have you ever listened to Griefcast? Carrie Ad Lloyd's podcast?
No, I keep meaning to because I hear it's great. Yeah,
it's really good.
Get on that.
Oh, and I must say, Adrift was the first ever podcast I listened to, so you helped me lose my podcast virginity, for which I will forever be grateful.
Oh.
Well, there you go. You'll always remember. It might not be the best podcast you ever hear. It might seem sort of clumsy and unsophisticated when you look back. Mm. But, you know, I hope it was a gentle introduction.
Yeah.
I also listened to Reasons to be Cheerful and was surprised to find myself liking Ed Miliband, who knew he was so funny. I added this in, Jeff, because in the latest Adrift podcast, you wondered if anyone listens to both.
There you go. Oh,
there we go. I do wonder that. I think, I don't know, it'd be nice to get, as I said last time, nice to get a few of those Reasons to be Cheerful listeners listening to Adrift. get the old subscriber numbers up.
And people could say they're doing the double.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm doing the double, yeah.
You got a little mention in Reason to Be Cheerful this week.
I'll start listening to it again then.
It's very interesting this week. It's about deliberative democracy.
Oh, and no wonder I got mentioned. I don't even know what that means.
Well, it sounds boring, doesn't it? And when it was suggested by Ed's office as a subject, oh God, that sounds boring, sortition. And yet, like, we did this podcast, and basically I think it could fix loads of what's wrong with our democracy.
Oh, wow,
it's
great.
Really, really very exciting. Well, I'm all worded out. I really hope to hear you read out a cheery happy birthday, Dawn. Or perhaps you'll even give me a couple of verses of any birthday song of your choice. Yeah. We can't really do a birthday song because of copyright reasons, but you could improvise one, Annabelle.
I can make one up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do I have to sing?
A little bit.
I can rap.
Yeah.
I'll do a rap.
Okay.
Hey Dawn there, happy birthday to you. I hope it's a good day and you don't feel blue. Look at the sky if you're feeling sad and learn that the place isn't so bad. Happy birthday to you, Dawn. Have a great day.
So that was terrible, but it was much better than I expected it was going to be. There was a fluency to it that I'm quite taken aback by, like a freestyle fluency. I thought it would just sort of peter out after the first line.
It did peter out.
but you kept going with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
She says, to make up for the lack of extra bits promised to the Patreon sign-up, which I know will never materialise. Dawn, we did the AMA.
Yeah, what more do you want? Well, the things promised, I suppose.
We're going to do a podcast party very soon, actually.
Are we? Okay, yeah. Great.
What about that idea that we had that Sarah and Tom would co-host a thing?
Oh.
What?
I tell you what, I think that's not such a bad idea because Tom could tell you the time about when he was a teenage international playboy.
Oh, great.
It's a good story. Yeah, okay. We could do it.
She says, keep up the better than average work. Right, that survived the biro, Annabelle.
Better than average, sorry.
Lots of love and all the best wishes. Dawn. Well, Dawn, I hope you had a great 50th birthday.
Yep.
50's the new 20.
So they say, do they?
I don't know.
No.
I think like what they say is whatever age Madonna is, that's the new 20, isn't it? Or is it the new 30? Okay. I'm not sure.
Well, she's at least 60, isn't she?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know Madonna, don't worry about it. Very sinewy.
Very.
Like, you know, obviously in prime physical state and whatever, but, you know, there's a certain sinewy quality that goes with that. And that's the choice you make.
Yeah.
You know, you can be in peak physical condition and be sinewy, or you can be like me.
And just have a very healthy penis.
Yes. Dawn, happy birthday. If you would like a podcation, email us hello@adriftpodcast.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.